I wonder what it is for you that heralds the beginning of the real season of Christmas. Perhaps if we're very good and very holy, it'll be Christmas Eve as we gather and we sing Midnight Mass and hear those great words of John's Gospel or Luke's Gospel, the birth of Jesus, the narrative, or so on. Of course, for many, it's the appearance of the Christmas advert. The John Lewis one engages a lot of people year on year. But the others have caught up in their imagination and their creativity. Perhaps it's the first sign in the distance of the Coca-Cola truck and the big fat man in red. That's not me, obviously. Perhaps. For me, one of the things that heralds the real beginning of Christmas is the blockbuster film in the theatres. We've had many. Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit followed it. And then, of course, the rebirth, resurgence of Star Wars. And this week saw episode 8, and I was very privileged to be able to see it on the first day. I won't spoil it, but I will say, if you like Star Wars, you'll like it. If you don't like Star Wars, you won't. But of course, one of the things about these films is how ambivalent the characters have become over the years as they've developed these narrative style of storytelling. In the days of the early days of Luke and Leia, everything was very black and white, literally, in Star Wars. You were good or you were bad. As we get towards the end of this 9-film sequence, perhaps it will be the end, maybe, we are beginning to see lots more shades of grey and lots more uncertainty and unknown about the characters and where they're coming from, their motivations, and so on, which is, of course, much more true to life today, the reality that we're all mixed up good and bad. Why do I say that? What's that got to do with our gospel today? Well, of course, we have John the Baptist coming writ large through our gospel today, and in our Advent theme is John the Baptist, the one who is the herald, the one who is the signpost to God, the one who was clear in his own mind who he was and indeed who he wasn't. But perhaps that was misunderstood by the people, both those who were following him, but also those who were opposed to him and those who were against what he stood for. But it is strange, perhaps, to think on a day where we had a reading like we have, to think of joy, to think of rejoicing, that great Gaudete, that idea of joy that comes through in our liturgy for today. This great opportunity throughout the centuries to take a pause in our Advent reflection, to take a pause in our waiting and pondering, our reflection, and to think of joy, the joy that is coming. Gaudete, of course, being the Latin for rejoicing. And it would have been the first word that would have been said on a mass on such a Sunday morning, coming from those great words of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Words that we've similarly heard today from our Philippians story. Letter to the Philippians. And it's we have a slight difference in the colour of the candle. And some people might wear rose or pink robes today, just to celebrate that difference. But it comes through in the reading from Isaiah, that great sense of joy in the kingdom that is to come, where all good things will happen, the brokenhearted will be comforted, the captives released, and those who mourn will be given a crown of beauty for ashes, a great wonderful image of restoration to the people of Isaiah, of Isaiah's time when they were still in exile in Babylon. But as I say, then we have a slight contrast. Then we have John as our gospel reading. John, not in this case John the baptizer of last week from Mark's gospel, but today we have John the witness. So a very different character, not the long shaggy beard and the wild locusts and honey and camel hair John of last week striding out of the desert. This week we have John the prophet. We have John here as the sign pointing towards Jesus. And what is clear in our reading today and from the words of John himself is what he is not. He is not the light. He is not the Messiah. He's not Elijah. He's not the prophet. He's not the one for whom everyone was waiting. In contrast to what John says, of course, in John's gospel, don't confuse the two, Jesus identifies himself as who he is, the great seven I ams of John's gospel, the living bread, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection, the life, the way, the truth, and the life, and the true vine. So Jesus in John is identified as being all of those things. But John sets himself clearly, even at the beginning of the gospel, with the things that he is not. And so perhaps we too might ask, as those listening to John, the Pharisees, and those whom they had sent, then who are you? Who is it that we are talking to? Who is it that we're listening to? We need an answer for those who have sent us. What do you say about yourself? And so it is that we have John the Baptist taking the words of the prophecy of Isaiah. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness. He is one who've come to clear the way for the Lord's coming. He recognizes that he is one who is a reflector of the light. Just as the moon has no light of its own, the moon merely reflects the light of the sun. So John recognizes his identity as totally bound up in that of Jesus, as reflecting his light into all the world. After all, a sign is only as good as to that to which it points. And without a source of light, a reflector is pretty useless. John is also clear of the status of the person to whom he is following. I am not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandal. He is witnessing to the reality of Jesus as God incarnate, born into the human condition that we all face, that God has become one of us. But, he says, Jesus, the one who comes, will not be the way or the manner in which they are expecting. He would come and overturn all that people of Israel had been expecting from their Messiah. He would, as we heard, come to bring the good news to the oppressed, comfort all who mourn, and give them oil instead of mourning. Which is why we sang that wonderful Graham Moore and John Bell song that we have just sung. This is the message that Jesus came to bring, that John exemplified and pointed to. He was the sign pointing to this one who was coming, who would be the Messiah, the one that they had been waiting for, but they would not recognize him, even when and if and he was directly under their noses, because they were looking in completely the wrong direction. They were so intent at looking at him as the sign that they couldn't see where it was pointing. They couldn't see the one to whom he was directing them. And so as we come towards the end of our time of Advent, our time of preparation and expectant waiting, we take time to reflect on our own pilgrimage, our own faith journey, where we are with God and where we are in our journey to be with God. Here we take a time to meet with Jesus afresh, Christ who has come to us in word and in sacrament. We've come to accept the light of Christ in us, to shine through us and out of us. The paradox is that we will show both the goodness of God and the godness in our lives, but it will also illuminate things in our lives that we would perhaps rather remain in darkness, as they reveal us as who we truly are. However, as we do come close to that event of such stunning simplicity and ordinariness as a child born in a stable, what we do need to remember is that just as those in authority failed to spot the one that they were waiting for, the one that they'd been looking for, searching for, yearning for so long, for us too today, there is that same temptation to be looking in a different direction. Or worse, to be not able to see past the sign. Like John, we too are to be signposts to the fact that the light has already come. The kingdom of God is already here. Even though we may feel like the world is so dark around us, in all its mess and confusion, that we are unable to see any hint of that light. The point is that no matter how dark it may be, the smallest prick of light will always overcome the darkness. So that even in those darkest places, as our eyes become accustomed to the darkness, we'll be able to identify the merest hint of light to which our attention may be focused and become for us and others a source of hope. So whether we are full of the joys of the season, or whether this time of year gives us time to reflect, and so doing makes us struggle, let us take this opportunity to rejoice that Christ has already come, that God is already with us, in our family, in our friends, in our neighbours, in those around us. And may we be so empowered by the Spirit that those lights of our faith, insignificant and dim as we may feel that they are united together in the community of faith. And we may show the way, illuminating the coming of God's Saviour as he comes to us again afresh. Amen.